turn on my recorder and note that it is June 12th, isn't it? Is it June 12th? No, it's the 11th. My watch says the 12th and my phone says the 11th, so I'm going with the 11th at 1:30 p.m. And this is a pre-hearing conference on OAH file 20200211, and that is also Public Service Commission case number PU 2194. If we could make appearances here, starting with you, Mr. Hsu.
Yes, Judge, this is John Hsu, and the other attorney in the office as well is with me, Brian Johnson.
Okay, Ms. Smith.
This is Molly Smith, and I'm appearing on behalf of Minnesota Power.
And Mr. Bowie.
This is Lane Bowie, the Bowie Law Firm, and I'm appearing on behalf of the Kesslers.
Okay. And just for the record, Mr. Kessler is listening in today. This pre-hearing conference was made at the request of Mr. Hsu. I am the procedural administrative law judge in this hearing, and I'll leave some of the issues up to all of you and to Mr. Hsu, who asked for the pre-hearing conference, but I think some of this pre-hearing conference should relate to how this will look. I just want to know if there's going to, what role different people from the PSC will take in the hearing, and the thoughts on what timeline we're looking at, and how long the hearing will last, and if there's going to be any discovery, and so that goes to how long we have to wait to have the hearing. With all that said, I'm going to start with Mr. Hsu. Mr. Hsu, can you answer those questions or add to them?
Sure. And thank you for putting this together, Judge. I spoke with the commissioners, and I know they're looking to have a just, speedy, and inexpensive proceeding to the extent possible. I did request this pre-hearing conference to really try to figure out exactly what everyone's expectations were in this proceeding. This is a little unique. Generally, our hearings aren't set up quite in this manner. We won't have advocacy, Judge, and I know you're involved in a lot of our proceedings. In this case, it'll simply be advisory. So I imagine there will, in the room, there will be Mr. Bowie, of course, the company, as well as advisory staff there to assist the commission throughout the process. I know generally the commission is looking to have the hearing fairly quickly. I know they don't intend to push this out too far. And I guess along with that, I know the commissioners generally expressed that they aren't looking for extensive discovery, although they do acknowledge and understand that some discovery has been requested and it probably should happen in this proceeding. But at this time, I guess I'd first like to hear what everyone's expectations are regarding how soon they intend to actually have this hearing and what they are looking for with discovery.
Okay, so how soon and discovery are themes I'm seeing. Is there anything else you think that we should add to the list of questions, Ms. Smith?
I think along those lines, Judge, I would just add setting a scheduling, a scheduling order, and then possibly a protective order with, if there is discovery, which we anticipate will need to occur. The other item I'll raise, because it will affect the schedule, is that Minnesota Power is planning to file a partial motion for motion to dismiss, and so we anticipate filing that within what we understand to be the answer period, but I would appreciate some clarification on the rules that are going to apply. I know the commission doesn't always follow the rules of civil procedure, so to make sure that I understand what rules are governing, I would add that to the list just to make sure we're all on the same page when we're calculating deadlines, etc.
Okay. Mr. Bowie, anything else I should put on the list for the agenda today?
I think as long as we deal with when is the answer actually due, when is when discovery timelines are essential, we will be wanting discovery. and then the actual schedule. So those three items, I think, are are all need to be addressed.
Well, I think we're all on the same page. Well, Mr. Hsu, I would guess that since this is a PSC hearing, do you have any response to Ms. Smith's question relating to a motion to dismiss and what rules the PSC will use?
Yes, Judge. Generally, we haven't adopted the rule of civil procedure. However, we do tend to take them under, we do use them as guidance at a lot of times. However, for the purposes of tolling time and so forth, generally, I believe in the rules, we do follow the rules of civil procedure for that aspect and for service.
Does that give you enough of an answer, Ms. Smith?
Well, maybe I can offer an example, Judge Johnson, and see if I'm on the same page. So,
okay.
We, as I understand it, so we were served with the complaint and received it on June 1st. Following rules of civil procedure, that would be, because of the form of service by certified mail, my understanding is that would be our initial start of our clock for filing an answer. I know the rules of civil procedure refer to 21 days. However, the Administrative Procedures Act for a complaint refers to 20 days. So if we were going to 20 days, it would be June 21st, which is a Sunday. If we follow the rules of civil procedure, we would roll forward to June 22nd as our deadline. And so, you know, using that as an example, is that an appropriate way to utilize the rules of civil procedure and the Administrative Procedures Act in this instance?
In this instance, I can tell you in the past we've maintained the 20 days as opposed to the 21 days.
Okay.
And
right. And it, which falls on a Sunday.
Sure.
So would that then roll forward to the Monday? That's how typically you would do it under the rules of civil procedure.
Yes, I believe that would be appropriate.
That's the way.
Okay.
I would figure it that way as well. But, yeah, so for
okay.
what it's worth.
Great. I'll just, so we're, that helps knowing that we're June 22nd is our deadline. The other question I had is, we're filing a motion for partial summary judgment. Typically, under rules of civil procedure, you would, you know, wait for that motion to be ruled on before you would file an answer, but I don't know what the expectation is in this process. If we should anticipate filing a motion or an answer at the same time, and I will say I think that's possible for us to do in this particular instance, given what we're focused on in our motion to dismiss. So we just need guidance as to how we should move forward with the answer portion.
Mr. Hsu?
Yes, Judge.
Do you have a answer for that? Otherwise, I'll throw in how we normally do it in other hearings, but PSC hearings, as you know, can be a little bit different. So you
mm-hmm.
have probably the most experience with any hearing at the PSC, and so I'd like you to weigh in first.
Yes, Judge. Generally, when a person files a motion for summary judgment, what we have been doing in the past is that has been told against the answering period until a decision has been made upon that. However, considering we have a procedure ALJ in this proceeding, I would leave that up to you, Judge, to make a determination on how you would like to proceed.
And this is Lynn Bowie. If I may jump in now.
Yes, you may.
My input.
Yes, you may.
Thank you, sir.
You were next on the list.
Fantastic. Number one, this case has been going on for a long time. I think Minnesota Power knows very well what the issues are. I would respectfully request that we do get the answer on June 22nd. And even if they intend to do any type of dispositive motion, she mentions partial summary judgment at one point and then summary judgment at another point. If it's not a true dispositive motion, that's all the more reason to get an answer so that we can find out what is contested. The other thing I think that needs to occur is we do want to get the complete Minnesota Power file, and that relates not only to any communications and documents relating to the Kesslers, but for all the landowners, because one of the issues is the allegedly abandoned property where not only do we have the house and residence that was not properly included on the map, but we need to also have all the information relating to all the other homes in the within the area that were listed or not listed. I believe the first item is we should have that answer by June 22nd. The second item is we need to be able to get the discovery first before they do any type of motions, even if they are summary judgment, even if they are a matter of law. The facts are going to come into play, and we need to just get the discovery done. For the ALJ's information, at one point during this case, Minnesota Power emailed a link of their entire file from, so they have a complete file that they had a link. I, of course, responded saying to Mr. Mueller, thank you for the link. I need the password. And he said, whoops, you weren't supposed to get that. They didn't provide me the password. And so discovery should be very easy because all they have to do is provide me the link that they, I believe, the people in North Dakota sent to Mr. Mueller or vice versa. So I think I should be have the opportunity to get discovery out, which will be a very basic, give me the whole file. And we need to deal with that issue as soon as possible before any motions are made so that I'm in a position to properly respond to those motions. In regards to the specific rules that would apply, the only modification I would suggest is that to the rules of civil procedure, we should require an answer so that we all know what we're dealing with. Then any motions that want to be made can happen after that. I would suggest in regards to briefing schedule, Rule 3.2 of the Rules of Court that North Dakota uses, which allows 14 days to respond and then a 7-day reply. I think that rule should be adopted for this case. As to Rule 56, I think the time pattern on that should apply, and we should use Rule 56. As far as the discovery rules, Rule 26 onward, I think those rules would be helpful because that gives us a process in which to use. And then lastly, in regard to service, I would suggest that both attorneys agree to service by email, and that upon sending anything to one attorney, the other one replies back, thank you, I've received it. And I think that should be sufficient instead of doing hard copies, snail mail, and everything else. And so those are the items that I would suggest as far as discovery. Again, the answer should be due June 22nd. As soon as I see that answer, is my intention to getting discovery out immediately. And then we would have, I would suggest, 30 days for the company to get me the answers, interrogatories, and requests for production of documents. And then that would take us to July 22nd, and then they would be in a position to make whatever motion they want sometime at that point. But again, I think I have to have the discovery. I have to have the file first. Thank you.
Okay.
Judge, if,
yes,
may I make a point of clarification?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. So we're not talking about a motion for summary judgment. We're talking about a motion to dismiss under Rule 12. So that is the initial response of pleading. So typically there's no discovery. A response of pleading is in the hands of the person or the party that is responding to the complaint. And so that's why typically under the rules of civil procedure, once you file a response of pleading, partial or otherwise, it tolls the requirement for the answer. So there would not be discovery before the motion to dismiss is filed. I'll say we're fine with filing the motion to dismiss on the 22nd. I would ask until June 30th to file the answer, since we would not technically be required, and it sounds like that's a practice that has typically been followed, but we would be willing to file the answer to the remainder of the complaint on June 30th. I can get into discovery, but I think I think it would make sense to stop there and make sure we're on the first page on the initial part before moving on to other matters.
Okay. Anybody else?
Lynn Bowie here.
Yes.
I apologize. You're correct. You mentioned motion to dismiss, but I can tell you that I think since facts are probably going to apply, it would be converted almost certainly to a Rule 56. If the motion to dismiss is truly only a matter of law and a legal matter, that may be appropriate. But I think since we're going to a hearing in front of the Public Service Commission at some point, I still think that discovery needs to be done and provided right away. And because we need to get the information that is in the file, particularly any memorandum relating to conversations with my clients, all the other landowners. And so I think that waiting to do discovery prior or, you know, until we do do any motion work ahead of time, I think is a waste of time. I think we need to get discovery. We all need to see what's here and then go from there. Thank you.
Okay. And before we get too far, Ms. Smith, your thoughts on a discovery deadline. It seems from what I'm hearing from you, we're just talking days difference. There doesn't seem to be anybody stalling here. So what kind of discovery would you need to provide discovery to them?
Certainly. Well, and I think that so far we've only talked about a one-sided discovery. Minnesota Power would also want to conduct discovery in this matter. So how I have laid out the schedule so far, just kind of roughly thinking through it, is we file our motion to dismiss. And to be clear, I do understand what a motion to dismiss entails, so it would not be on the facts of the matter. It would be on a true motion to dismiss basis. So we would file that, and that would then have an opportunity to be responded to. And I believe following the rules of civil procedure and rule of court is appropriate there. And then a reply period as well. As far as the answers, I've said we'd be willing to file on the 30th of June. And then discovery should start after the motion to dismiss is ruled on. Otherwise, if there's other issues that need to be brought up in discovery, those would not be known until that time. As far as the discovery time frame and the type of discovery, we would anticipate serving written discovery on the Kesslers. And in this matter, the allegations that have been raised allege certain statements and actions by commission staff, in this case Mr. Hsu and Mr. Lean, and we would anticipate that we would need to conduct depositions so that we have, the goal isn't to delay anything, the goal is to narrow the issues so that when we get to hearing we have a clear understanding of what the facts are and we present those facts to the commission for a decision. And so it would be discovery, probably depositions there, and likely depositions of the Kesslers as well as written discovery. Typically how we've seen it in other proceedings is you would serve your written discovery. There would be 30 days to answer. There would be a period of time for follow-up because the answers aren't always what the requesting party wants to see, and so there would be some time to follow up, and then you would conduct your deposition because you typically need the discovery documentation to conduct your deposition. So we would expect that it would take at a minimum 90 days to get through the discovery period, because by the time you conduct the written discovery, the responses, the follow-up, and then the deposition, even 90 days is a pretty aggressive timeline.
Any thoughts on that, Mr. Bowie?
Well, first of all, we would, of course, be doing depositions of everybody from Minnesota Power who was on site, who my clients have talked to. And then, of course, we need to decide the location where we would have those depositions. And the other thing is procedurally, the motion to dismiss, and the reason I'm saying we need to do discovery first, is, as I understand it, the ALJ doesn't have any authority to make a decision on any motion to dismiss. It would be the PSC that would have to do that. And that's why I'm suggesting let's just get all the discovery done, and then be ready for trial. And if they make a motion to dismiss, it's going to have to be in front of the PSC. And if the PSC declines it, then we're ready for a hearing right then. And so that's one of the procedural issues I refer to. As far as location of depositions, we're fine with doing them, even though the Kesslers would have to come in. There's not a real good place near in their county. I would suggest that it would be appropriate to do it in Bismarck. Maybe the ALJ has a room. I certainly have my office in Mandan, but I'm not sure my conference room is big enough. But anyway, and so because a motion to dismiss would have to technically go to the PSC, I think we are wasting time, efficiency, and expenses and not just getting discovery done first before any type of motions are made. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Hsu, I'm going to first say that generally discovery is left to the parties, and I don't get involved at all unless there's a problem. And then Mr. Hsu, so where the depositions are, or well, I'll set a scheduling order with broad timelines, and then unless there's some sort of problem, I generally don't get involved. Mr. Hsu, Mr. Bowie was talking about, you know, just because it will be the commission that makes the determination on any motion to dismiss, or if it turns into a summary judgment motion, or, you know, if there's an evidentiary hearing and on the evidence, and then the overall result of all that. Do they have a position on, do they want to do that all at once, or would they rather do it in the traditional sense that if I was making the decision, you know, I do it in the typical order of doing the motions first? Does that have any weight or any, you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, Judge. In the past, we've done it both ways. Certainly the motion first, rather than addressing at the hearing. I was hoping that during this discussion, we were discussing narrowing the issues, that we could probably do that. And the complaint that was filed, it's pretty broad and pretty extensive. I was hoping that we could, that Mr. Bowie would be willing to provide a more concise complaint to follow up. We did state that the state's a prima facie case because there are issues that probably should be heard in here. However, I know the commissioners were hoping that it would be narrowed down.
Okay.
Well, and if that's the case, that may avoid the motion to dismiss altogether.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so, in a broad sense of the authority of the Public Service Commission, you know, I'm not, without even, you know, stating an issue that would be based upon a person filing a complaint over a wind tower after the siting certificate has been issued, how would you see the issue on a legal basis? You know, I've reviewed Chapter 4922, and it seems that this is more of a hearing under the general authority of the Public Service Commission. So I guess, what's the Public Service Commission looking at in the terms of legally framing the issue, without even thinking of the facts? Is it a hearing on the certificate? Is it a, you know, what is it on? And could you kind of get us in the ballpark, maybe, Mr. Hsu?
Yes, sir, Judge, I'll try. I would say in this specific instance, it would be very difficult to depart entirely from the site certificate in and of itself. The complaint is directly relates to the application and what was provided and the basis for the commission's decision. I do think, however, as this moves forward, this moves forward under the normal general powers of the commission, from the aspect of how we would proceed. So,
okay. So what I'm hearing from you, and maybe I can relate to Mr. Bowie, hopefully this is correct, this would be on the site certificate, so any remedy would relate to the site certificate? Mr.
Well, I think I remember.
Let me just ask Mr. Shue. So is that the way the Public Service Commission sees it at this time? Is that it would relate to that?
Judge, I would think it would relate to the penal provisions of the Siting Act.
Yeah. Okay. And the site certificate and the, yeah. Okay. Got you. Do you see any way that you can narrow the issue, Mr. Bowie? And what? Let me pull. Do you? I'm opening up the complaint and looking at it. And so the issue in the complaint. Do you have it in front of you, Mr. Shue?
I do, Judge.
So what do you think the issue in the complaint is? I was just going to try to read it.
Sure. Judge, and I think that is what I was kind of hoping that Mr. Bowie would make sure that it was abundantly clear of what was that issue. I assumed it was whether, and this is just out of the first paragraph of his complaint, whether Minnesota Power failed to disclose an inhabited residence in its application, because the remedy seems to logically follow that.
Mr. Bowie.
Well, one of the problems is we have to deal with the definition of an inhabited residence, and that deals with facts by definition. I mean, because the Kessler's son was at school, but it was a home that they used. And so I fail to understand how we can't do anything. I fail to understand how we would be able to do anything without getting into facts and definitions, and the facts apply to that particular definition. And we also have the other homes nearby that were truly not used as a residence, and they were listed. So I'm having a hard time understanding how there would be any motion to dismiss, given that those facts are essential. Yeah. That being said, if the Public Service Commission, as they just did, suggests that they would like to have us be more concise and develop more specific and narrow issues, I'm certainly willing to provide a memorandum, a very short, concise memorandum that just says, we believe these are the following issues that need to be resolved in this matter. I still would want them to answer the complaint, of course, but there, it is possible for me to, provide a memorandum of, again, of what I think the issues are and submit that, and then the PSC would be in a position to say, yes, we agree, these are the issues, or they'd say, well, we don't find a prima facie as to this issue or that issue. Again, I'm not sure how to respond other than say I can certainly synthesize that complaint down to the very specific issues which I think are raised in that complaint.
So, when I... Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say something, but I'll let you speak first, Ms. Smith.
Well, thank you. I would say that if I'm understanding the discussion was going back and forth, 2832.21 requires a concise statement of the complaint, of the claims, and I would say we would support anything that would reduce the 38-page complaint to the basic facts that need to be stated. The other issue that, if I'm understanding what Mr. Shue is saying, is if this is under the Siting Act, the remedies that are being requested are not within the jurisdiction of that particular act. And so, and that is a focus that we are looking at, is the requests for relief do not tie back to what would be allowed under the Siting Act. And so I think those are the two issues as I see it.
Yeah, but
and I will say I don't want to respond to a memorandum. I would want to respond to a complaint so that we don't have multiple documents on the file.
And this is Lynn Bowie. I just have to state that we do not believe the Siting Act is the only issue before the PSC. We believe they have the general jurisdiction and the remedies we are requesting. Even beyond the Siting Act, the PSC has the right and the power and the authority to go beyond the Siting Act and make a decision as to the issues we have presented.
Okay. This is an evidentiary hearing, and so it's to determine different views as to fact. And I guess what I'm hearing Mr. Hsu say and what I'd like to know, is this all about whether the residence was inhabited or not? Is that it? I mean, is that the fact that we're, I mean, the crux of it, Mr. Bowie? I mean, are there other major facts at play here? I mean, there's a lot of things that fall under whether it's inhabited or not, whether somebody was living there, whether somebody wasn't, whether the sun was coming back, whether there were, you know, all that stuff, that all falls under that heading of whether it's inhabited or not. Are there any other major factual determinations that are at issue?
Yes, and that is whether or not this particular company in any way did anything inappropriate, lied to the Kesslers, prevented them from asserting their rights, and if so, whether this company should be allowed to continue operating in North Dakota or be allowed to ever apply to North Dakota again. So it's not just the issue of that, the inhabited issue, but it's also the conduct of this particular company as it relates to this particular wind farm.
So if the issue is stated, basically, whether the company failed to disclose an inhabited residence and whether the company acted improperly as to the Kesslers. So now we have an issue statement that says that. Is there anything else that needs to be put in that issue statement?
Well, it's not just the Kesslers, the landowners, plural.
Okay,
the Kesslers and everybody else.
The landowners. Is that it?
Again, I would have to review the complaint and attempt to provide, and I'm glad to do that, and I think the memorandum is sufficient to simply just say, these are the issues. I don't want to be narrowed down to right now saying, you know, without reviewing the complaint and providing specificity as to all the issues we think are at play. I thought today was mainly just a scheduling order, but and I don't think we need to need to amend the complaint. I think providing as a pre-trial, pre-hearing memorandum of these are the issues that we believe are listed in the complaint concisely, narrowly, I think that will suffice.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the beginning then, and we're just going to walk through. I'm just going to look at the issues we discussed at the beginning, and it doesn't seem like we're going to schedule this anytime soon. It looks like we'll have another pre-hearing conference not too far down the road, so that is the time at which we'll have another one, and we'll set the hearing at that time, and we can talk about any other things that come up. Maybe at that, if we haven't come to, the parties haven't come to agreement as to the issue so that it can be written in a sentence that the average person can understand, then we'll rule on that or discuss that issue matter again. We'll look at the timelines that we discussed before, and we're going to, we're going to have the motion to dismiss by June 26 with the response in 14 days and a reply in 7 days. The answer must be by June 30th. Is there anything else that we really need to hit here, Mr. Hsu? I have a lot written down here, and so while you talk, I'm going to go back through my list.
We have to proceed. The commissioners always have the ability, of course, to interject themselves in the proceeding as well to limit or broaden the scope of what is occurring. One of the reasons why we should be narrowing this issue is from the fact that we actually have to notice a hearing and what the issues are. And so our notice will not probably have as many issues as is provided in their initial complaint. The one thing I would be interested in having as well, for any sort of clarification, if Mr. Bowie decides to provide that, would be, I guess he cites some more general authority. I wouldn't mind seeing the general authority as it relates to the relief requested. I certainly am not going to argue that we don't have a broader authority than what's within the Siting Act, or that the commission could not take such action. But I would be interested to see what citation he is providing for that more, with more specificity.
Should we just have another pre-hearing conference in 2 weeks or 10 days or something, and see if Ms. Smith and if the parties can come to some negotiation, or at least have another conversation on this before we talk again as a group?
Judge, I think that would be worthwhile. I know the commission certainly doesn't want this to drag out for 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I think just as the Kesslers have been waiting for this proceeding to happen, the commission has been waiting as well to resolve this case, and we're waiting for the complaint as well.
Yeah.
So, Judge Johnson, if
yes.
I may, I'm somewhat confused because I know we have a complaint, but there's been a request to submit a narrower complaint, and so I would like to know if that is going to be done or not, because we should answer whatever the final version is of the complaint in the same way as we should be, filing a motion to dismiss on the same, whatever is the final complaint. It feels like we haven't addressed that issue, and so is the commission directing that a more concise complaint be filed or not, so that we know what to do as far as the motion to dismiss and our answer?
The commission has not made such a request. This was in comments, but the commission acts as a quorum. So I was hoping that Mr. Bowie would and the Kesslers would voluntarily do that. And I wasn't expecting to narrow down all the issues today, but I was hoping that they would be willing to, of course, review that and provide a more narrow scope of what really they were looking at, what the issues were and what they were achieving.
And when you say scope, I mean, there's been discussion of a memorandum. What I'm concerned about is if we start getting into memorandums, then we have a complaint and we have a memorandum, and then what are we supposed to be responding? We know we have to respond to the complaint. We would want an opportunity to respond to the memorandum, and we start just being duplicative.
Yep.
Yep, I can understand that, Ms. Smith. And I think I would not be looking to have a memorandum. I would be looking to narrow the scope because that would probably be what the proceeding would follow from. So I would be looking for a subsequent, if Mr. Bowie is agreeable to it, the subsequent filing be what would be expected to be answered.
Are you agreeable to that, Mr. Bowie?
Well, my problem is I think it would be more appropriate to leave the complaint and receive an answer from them, and then decide at that point what narrower of the issues that we might want to do. On the other hand, if the Public Service Commissioners have said we want to narrow these issues, I just don't think I should have to do another complaint. I believe that the complaint indicates exactly what our issues are and what our claims of relief are. And I shouldn't have to redo it. I shouldn't have to, shadow box against myself trying to get, what the other side thinks is or isn't a proper issue. So I guess if the Public Service Commission wants me to do an amended complaint, I guess we could do that and narrow it down and narrow the scope to just the issues that we feel are essential, but I think that will cause unnecessary delay in this matter. But if that's what needs to be done, then obviously I will do it. I think the complaint indicates what the issues are and what the facts are, and I shouldn't have to redo it without them having to first answer and give us an indication of what they believe are the facts, and not the facts in this case.
Any response, Mr. Hsu? It doesn't sound like he's agreeable.
Well, Judge, if that's the case, I don't have a official commission action requesting that. It was, like I said, hoping that it would be done voluntarily, because that would actually make this proceeding a lot faster. I was anticipating. I thought discovery would be quicker, as well as a resolution in this case. However, if that's the case, absent a commission, the commission itself taking action, we can just proceed as the parties would like to.
This is Lynn Bowie. I'm going to jump in.
Yep.
I don't want to delay this as a result of not doing what the commission wants. I'll put it bluntly. I will take the suggestion of the commission. We will voluntarily draft a more concise complaint that narrows both the facts and the issues. And I can do that if I'm given, today's the 11th, if I'm given 10 days to do that, if it, let me just look here, because I have a North Coast Supreme Court brief due on Monday, and I've got about three other hearings coming up. But if I were, I'm okay with voluntarily doing an amended complaint just so we can get this ball rolling and we're not dealing with this issue any further. Today's the 11th. I could have it presented by the 22nd, and then if that answer you have June 30th, I assume that since all I'm doing is synthesizing what they already have, I would think the answer could still be provided by June 30th, and then we can proceed from there. So I'm more than happy to do that if that's going to make things go quicker.
Okay. So, Ms. Smith, how much time would you like for the motion to dismiss and the answer?
We will continue to work on a motion to dismiss. My issue is that I don't know what the complaint looks like, I don't think it would be appropriate to require us answer in less than 20 days. That said, we would make every effort to move our process forward and try to submit something before the 20-day deadline. But, you know, we don't have the complaint, so it's hard for me to say I can respond in 5 days when I don't have it in front of me.
So that looks like July 13th is you'd have an answer. And then before you were going to do the motion to dismiss before the answer. So do we need to set time? I'm just looking at this. I just want to have some dates etched in stone when we walk out of this pre-hearing conference.
Sure.
So we have a new complaint by June 22nd. You have 20 days to respond by July 13th. But then are you going to file a motion to dismiss and ask that be told? And then you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do. From what I have understood of this conversation, I don't anticipate that the items that we were going to address in a motion to dismiss will be changed. It sounds like that's not in the plans, so I anticipate we would still need to file a motion to dismiss. That said, we will try to move forward with preparing a complaint at the same time and make every effort to submit those closer together and not take the full tolling period.
Okay.
I will know more once I see it, whether I could commit to something less, but at this point I don't know, and so I would rather wait, see the complaint, go through that initial process, have another scheduling, but set the 13th as our initial responsive pleading deadline, and we will do our best to move things forward if we can.
Okay.
Just I have one other additional question I would like to bring up, and this is to the company. Now, Mr. Bowie has been very clear about one individual item that he's looking for in discovery, and I know you're looking, of course, waiting until after there are subsequent filings. However, it seems like regardless of what the issue is, even if the specific issue to be discussed today, my assumption is that there are those matters relate to that filing. Would the company be willing to expedite this case, provide some discovery during this process?
I think so. Let me go back and confirm that. And as far as I will just say, I have looked at the file that Mr. Bowie is referencing, and I think it doesn't contain what he may think it does. So I don't think, in my view, that it's going to answer whatever questions he may have, and so I anticipate it would probably lead to further discovery anyway. But yes, I did have that in mind, so thank you for raising it. I will go back to Minnesota Power and see if that's something that we could provide. I guess along those lines, as far as a protective order, knowing that we are going to go into discovery, is there a particular protective order form that is typically used, or would you want us to look to like a federal district court protective order form, or how would you like us to handle that matter?
You mean in front of with the commission?
Well, it would be probably Judge Dawson, I assume, would be issuing the protective order. Am I accurate on that?
Lynn Bowie here. I need to jump in and just state that I think that's the cart before the horse. Normally we do a discovery. I send out what I want, and then based on that, they would then make any request for protective order. I've never had a case where you get a protective order before we even have discovery,
yeah,
or even a request for discovery. I don't understand why we would start with protective order when, I mean, they know what I want. It's the file. And if we could get the file by, you know, 7:13 at the same time they provide the answer, that would be great.
So here's what I'll do. I will look and see if there's anything that is that we would need a protective order for in that file. If the file is truly all that they would like, I then think that we would make a determination, you know, solely based on that. I will say the protective order, doing it in advance, is so that we don't have to come back and have a fight over discovery. We just have something governing it. And so everybody knows the rules and, you know, ahead of time, and we've done that in other proceedings in other jurisdictions. But I'll look at the file. I'll talk with Minnesota Power and see if it's possible to provide that. And then I will notify Judge Dawson and the parties of what we can do in that respect.
This is John. And to the extent that the discovery is between the parties, generally that is worked out between the parties, protective orders and what's necessary. To the extent, of course, coming in with open records laws and so forth, the documentation makes it into our hands. Usually we need some additional application and filing to protect such information.
Certainly.
Okay. Lynn Bowie here. I appreciate and understand that the company will have some proprietary information relating to various issues that relate to the company that do not relate to this case. I understand that. I also understand that you probably have certain confidentiality agreements with some of the landowners as to what they were actually paid, for example. I'm not interested in those things, so I think I will be able to work with Ms. Smith to, when they say this is what's in the file, we don't want to be part of the public record, and or this is just part of the things that we don't think you necessarily need, I will probably be in a position to say, yes, that makes perfect sense. And I will work with counsel, and if we can't resolve it, then we would bring it to the attention of the ALJ.
Okay.
And just so I'm clear, is
yes,
it then we'll make an effort to provide this file, but any other discovery would wait until we get further down the road past the motion to dismiss answer phase. Is that, am I understanding correctly?
Again, I note my objection to that. I think we need to get the discovery right away. That's waiting for any motions to be resolved and it's going to delay it. And in addition, that means the entity that has to make that decision is the PSC, and that's going to delay things by 4 to 6 months. I think I intend to initiate discovery immediately and to request and schedule depositions so that in the month of July we're able to complete discovery and get this thing ready to go to the Public Service Commission sooner as opposed to later. And the only way this thing's going to get completed quickly is that we do discovery now.
Well,
Judge Dawson, this is Keith Kessler.
Your attorney will speak for you. I'm thinking about what has been said here. Do you have any final words, Mr. Hsu? Here's any final words, Mr. Hsu, on that?
No, Judge, regarding the discovery matters, I'm comfortable leaving that to you and okay. your determination on what's appropriate.
On this discovery, it doesn't concern me that much if we're going to have a motion to dismiss, and that's going to happen here fairly quickly. I think that should be dealt with first. I think it will get to the bottom of all these, once the complaint is filed, it will really narrow down the issues, if the issues need to be narrowed down. If they don't need to be narrowed down, then the issues will be set at what they need to be set at. So I kind of like the idea of first things first is getting the issue squared away. Without that, it's kind of like we're looking for a black cat in a dark room when there's no cat in the room. It's just too hard for me to even think about. And so I think that's what we'll do first at that point, and then we'll do the discovery. And like every other discovery, the parties will work it out. And if they don't, if they have an issue, they can bring it before me. But I am going to say that's a rare instance. Historically speaking, but maybe this is something new. So I would hope that the parties could work out discovery after that point, but that also just maybe the limits discovery, maybe limits a few depositions if we can just narrow down the issue and get through this motion to dismiss, or maybe it turns into a summary judgment motion, and then we know what we're arguing about as factually speaking. Again, I want to focus on that it's an evidentiary hearing, and I'm looking for a dispute as to fact, and that's the first thing that the commission will decide is what this dispute is. And so, make a decision on the dispute as it's framed. And so I'd like to frame it for them so that they have ease in making their decision, so they know what they're deciding before they sit down and before they go on and make any other judgments as to motions to dismiss or to discovery. I mean, that even goes to relevancy of the issue itself. So we got to get the motion to dismiss, and I see good faith on the side of the company coming forward and doing it fairly quickly here. It might add on month on, but to the other side of it, it could take months off the end. So I don't know what the future will hold, but I think that's the most logical way to go forward. Are there any other issues that we need to, and as soon as that motion to dismiss is ruled on, I think we'll have another pre-hearing conference, and then we'll discuss in detail any discovery at that time. And I think that discussion at that time, if it's needed, will be a good discussion. I think right now we're just, talking about coulda, woulda, shoulda kind of stuff that's just floating out there. Is there anything that I need to address? Anything that I'm missing? Mr. Hsu, start.
No, Judge, I think you've covered it all.
Ms. Smith, does anybody need like a date or anything that I missed?
No, I think I understand that the complaint is anticipated to be filed June 22nd, and that would start our clock, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Right. I think that will work. Mr. Bowie.
If I, the only thing I can think of is if I am able to get to this earlier, I was, instead of actually doing a firm date, I think it should be so many days after the amended complaint is received. That way we're not, if I can get to it earlier, then if they have 14 days or 20 days, whatever that you allow, that's fine. Also, I don't think you've resolved yet whether or not we're able to do service by email, and I think that's a more efficient way to handle things. And
do you agree to service by email, Ms. Smith?
I believe that's fine. I will ask because I want to make sure I understand procedurally. So the initial complaint was filed and then was served by the commission on the party. Are we to go from service by Mr. Bowie? Are we to go from service by the commission? And I just need to know which.
This is John Hsu. I think regarding the subsequent filing that we're expected from the Kesslers, I think it'll be service from the parties.
Okay.
I believe that's appropriate.
And service by email is fine.
Not to be serving that that complaint.
Correct. Okay. So we'll just consider that whenever Mr. Gooley files the amended complaint, that will be service on us and we'll start our 20-day clock, regardless of whether it's the 22nd or earlier.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll try to do it as quickly as possible. I think nobody wants to displease the Public Service Commission over a couple days here and there or procedural matters. Anything else? Mr. Hsu, Ms. Smith, Mr. Bowie, last chance. I hear nothing, so I'm going to close this pre-hearing conference, noting the correct time to be 2:28 p.m. You all take care, and I'm sure I'll hear from you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Judge. Thank you, Your Honor.
Look at the river.